It's that time here on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we doing today, Bill?
Yeah, very good indeed. Thank you, Howard. I hope you've had a good week and enjoying life.
Yes. It's different at the time, but there we go. Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, as we've discussed previously, it's been a heck of a year in terms of health with the pandemic, but also on the stock market. Presidential elections, I think he's almost conceded, and Brexit. We're not at the end of the year yet, but what are your reflections at this point?
Well, there is so much of interest in the news right now of either direct or indirect benefit or interest to our listeners. I suppose Brexit is probably key in the front of their mind. It seems clear now that even with a deal eventually being put into place, there's likely to be some major disruption as the new border arrangements come into force. What was noticeable this week was that EU diplomats suggested that one of the ironies of a no-deal scenario is that talks would, in all likelihood, continue probably after a cooling-off period to try and patch up some kind of relationship for the future. So the fudge of the deadline seems to have been implanted into the minds of all of us. What was interesting was that many people warning Mr. Johnson, Prime Minister Johnson, that Australia is currently in the process of negotiating a comprehensive trade agreement with the EU because even Canberra doesn't like the Australia model. So quite where it's going to go for the UK, I don't know. Yeah, the presidential election seems to be running into the cul-de-sac that we all expect, and the markets have responded quite well to Mr. Biden's president-in-waiting status. The stock markets have moved favourably last week above the highest level of the S&P 500 in the United States. And of course, of great joy to all of us, I think, is that the AstraZeneca Oxford pandemic vaccine looks like it's going to hit the UK and the rest of continental Europe sometime during the early part of 2021, so that we might begin to see a significant reduction in the threat of COVID-19 by the late spring, early summer. Let's hope.
Yeah, that's a great vaccine because, of course, it can go in normal vaccine storage fridges, which is good, and it's going to be sent worldwide, so we're very pleased about that. Do you think the Europeans have been more flexible as we get to the end of the Brexit period? Because I see Michael Gove has just said today, blame the EU rules approach if there's a border chaos.
Well, this is the spiteful end of a long, long negotiation period. And truthfully, it's in no one's interest, neither the EU nor the UK, to end up with no deal, nor to end up with a deal which still has big holes in it. I mean, they've talked about reviewing whatever a deal is made, for example, regarding fisheries in 10 years' time. But that just doesn't seem a satisfactory way to go forward. We need to bring whatever your view on this, we need to bring this negotiation and the separation of the UK from the EU to an end so that both sides can get on with progress instead of running around in 6 foot deep mud trying to find an answer that suits one side or the other, but is still causing confusion.
Yeah. Well, with everything changing around us, what are the key fundamental areas that people should focus on when it comes to managing their wealth?
I mean, the kind of headline areas that one needs to consider when you are a British national or a foreign national living in a different country, there is an understandable long-term allegiance to your domestic home currency. And many British people who live outside of the UK continue to think significantly in respect of investments and pensions, and life insurance and other things like that in sterling when they are going to be long-term residents of an economy which has a different currency, the euro. And therein lies a quite significant currency exchange risk. So currencies, from my point of view, are the one area that listeners need to pay a lot of attention to so that they aren't left with a bad exchange rate that can be avoided if you've planned properly to set your financial affairs up to represent that you should match your ongoing liabilities with the currency that you have in hand. So if you estimate what your spending power is going to be for the next 10 years, let's say, have you considered how you might get your cash into a euro format at an appropriate time to make sure that if the currency fluctuations worsen and you're getting a less favourable exchange rate, you've already got the money in the bank. I think the second thing is that you have to accept that if you want to make money in today's markets with interest rates down at pretty much zero, there is a degree of risk required to improve your returns. It's a question of what level of risks suits the individual most of all. It might be level risk one, it might be unusually and exceptionally, in my view, level risk 10, but somewhere between 1 and 10, on a proper analysis of the individual and the requirements and their wherewithal, so that we can understand a position where their wealth is, we can start to determine with a client's cooperation where their risk tolerance sits. Your time horizon is the third key. You have to be sure that you are committing yourself to making your returns over a respectable period of time. If you're in the markets for a flash in and a flash out, quite frankly, that is a way to make money, but it's also a way to lose money very quickly. So time in the markets rather than timing is the moral of the story. And then, of course, we come to that key word of all things, not all of your eggs in one basket. Diversification across the various things you invest in are the means of protecting your wealth. The analysis of an analogy, I should say, of how your portfolio of wealth should work is rather like the pistons of an engine, that in one case, when one piston is up, another one is down, so that you're never all of those pistons down at one time, and you are actually making money above average over time. And finally, the key, I think, and one of the strengths of Blevins Franks in terms of wealth management is having a successful tax avoidance structure in which you can decide on those headline things I've just mentioned and then protect your wealth and the accruing growth that you get from unnecessary taxation.
Looking again at currency, Bill, how can people change their investments or do what they can do to make planning for the currency part of their wealth planning?
Yeah, I think you simply got to, as I mentioned earlier, you've got to look at matching your liabilities, that is to say, the certainty of your expenditure over the next 4 or 5 years at least, and then consider at what point in time do you actually harvest your wealth into a cash pot of euros that will hold good for that 5 year period of time. Now, if you've done that, of course, the exchange rate may go against you, it may go for you. But the truth is that at least during that 5 year period, you know what your spending is going to be from the currency you have in hand. And there will be a time in that 5 year period, generally speaking, when you might want to then top up your holding of euro cash simply because the exchange rate is better than it has been for some time. So it's a question of continuously considering the exchange rate and keeping that float, as it were, in euros at a level which will serve you well for the next 5 or 6 years.
Well, Bill, here in Spain, what about the investment risk that different people may be willing to tolerate?
Yeah, this is, I think, one of the key issues that has to be discussed right at the outset. And Blevins Franks partners who sit and discuss the requirements of their clients do so in a form of partnership with their clients, so that the client feels that he is contributing and an essential part of the decision-making process so far as risk is concerned. Now, Blevins Franks have a very sophisticated risk assessment procedure devised by professors at Oxford University, which Blevins Franks will take their clients through to try and analyse in an objective, cold-hearted way almost, quite what the client's risk tolerance might be. Now, the client then has to manage to either accept that or say, no, that's not quite what I want. So, you know, before you invest, you need to pinpoint the right balance of risk and reward for your peace of mind. That's essential. You have to look at what you're trying to achieve. And then the specialist skills of Blevins Franks will sit down and work you through a program of all of those headline things I discussed with you that are intended to get you from where you are now to where you want to be in the future without taking unnecessarily high levels of risk. But remember, in today's world of zero, pretty much zero interest rates, without some element of risk, you may struggle to outpace inflation, and by virtue of the erosion of your capital by inflation, you might lose money, especially over the longer terms. Now, there are a number of means by which investors can reduce the element of risk. Staggering the time of investments to reduce exposure to markets is one strategy. But it's also true that there is a pseudo-scientific means of analysing the client's objectively, the client's likelihood of risk tolerance. Now, the client has to then input to say yes or no, but at least it's a starting point.
Well, different people have different time horizons in mind. How does that impact their strategic financial planning?
Well, look, in general, the longer you have to invest, frankly, the more risk you can take. With time, you can ride out market volatility and benefit from the compounding returns that take place when you invest in real assets through the stock market and bonds. Now, understanding your time horizon is also crucial to determine the level of liquidity that you need in your portfolio, this cash float that I suggested, whereby you always have ready access to the cash you need over a fairly lengthy period of time. So that ties in with the currency planning that you have to do. And remember, you never really know when your plans might change. You might need to return to the UK unexpectedly for, I don't know, family, health reasons. So it's important when we are composing the structure of an individual client's portfolio that we ensure there is sufficient liquidity that can easily be accessed or can be sold if the client wishes to access their capital or just to change their strategy even.
Well, we often hear about the need for a diversified portfolio. Tell us more about what that means and why it's so important.
I think most listeners will understand that throughout life, one is encouraged not to put all of your eggs in one basket. I mean, the higher your concentration in one particular investment type or area, therefore sits the greater risk. I mean, the best way to limit risk, frankly, is by diversification, by spreading the investments you hold across a variety of different asset classes, cash, government bonds at the lower end of the spectrum, corporate bonds producing higher levels of recurring income, equities in the major markets where you have solid investment in solid businesses in those leading indices, the S&P 500 and the FTSE 100, for example, but then also maybe some smaller companies, maybe some emerging markets. It's about getting that balance of all those various areas right to make sure that you are beating the average, fighting inflation, and that your returns are being accrued on a compound basis annually. I mean, it's very important to have diversification. It's easy to think there is, you know, a one-hit opportunity in one particular asset class, but frankly, with the way in which assets prices change so rapidly, you can easily be caught out if you're not diversified correctly.
In our broadcast, Bill, we often talk about taxation issues for UK expatriates here in Spain. How does that impact on their overall wealth planning?
Well, it can be a huge burden to your total returns. I mean, it is important that we all meet the legitimate tax liability that arises from our income and our capital. But there is no requirement for you to unnecessarily place your assets in such a position to allow the tax authorities to stick the largest possible shovel into your stores. Now, the tax planning that Blevins Franks are involved in helps to maximise your real returns and, in addition, to protect your wealth for future generations. It's important that you factor in tax planning. You need to perhaps look for arrangements that can, I don't know, shelter capital from tax while providing a tax-efficient income that might enable you to transfer your wealth to your beneficiaries without bureaucracy and, in particular, without inheritance taxes. The tax planning angle is a complicated one for expatriates generally because they often have assets in the UK, if they're British, and assets in the country in which they live. And there is a likelihood, even though they may not see it now, that they may return to the UK. So in that tax planning strategy discussion, we will be talking about cohesively bringing the opportunities of mitigating tax in the country in which you live, Spain, and mitigating tax, if it happens to be the case that you go back to the UK, in the UK as well.
And how does someone make sure that their portfolio and strategic plan is still up to date and also suitable for them and their family?
Well, I think, you know, I'm sorry to keep mentioning the name of Blevins Franks, but frankly, you wouldn't have a problem if you're a client of Blevins Franks because we do have a number of representatives who are there to serve our clients with a regular analysis of what they've got and making sure it still fits the bill. I mean, good financial planning is clearly not a set and forget exercise. Everyone has their own sort of unique set of circumstances. They have their own unique aspirations and their requirements, but they change over time. It might be because as age goes on and health changes, it might be that you've recently relocated or you received an inheritance. You may have grandchildren coming into the world. You may have older children going to private schools where fees are necessary. All those things are a moving feast. And so if your financial liabilities, commitments and considerations are moving, you need to be moving to review your portfolio on a fairly regular basis. 6 months is the minimum, I would suggest. 12 months is probably satisfactory to keep it on track. But if anything significant happens within that 12-month period, then you need to talk to the person who's advising you to make sure that they can factor in those changes to make sure that what you've got is still on track.
Do you find that when your client comes in to discuss this, it's a two-way conversation, so you can find a common way in the future?
I think the answer is, Howard, without wishing to use too many cliches, our senior partners are highly qualified, regulated, qualified exam, regulated by the authorities to ensure that the client is getting proper advice. But the most important thing when they first meet a client is to remember that they have two ears and one mouth, and to use that meeting in those proportions, to listen twice as much as you talk. Most importantly is to understand who the client is, what the client is trying to achieve, and to develop a relationship with the individual so that we can work together to get the client's wealth from wherever it happens to be now in the most efficient way possible, to make sure that within a year or two of actually using that advice, you've moved into an area where you're both increasing the potential for capital appreciation, protecting your income from inflation, and you're also protecting your beneficiaries, the ones you love and care for, from unnecessary inheritance tax. It's an important partnership for us.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much, Bill. Now, the website is a great place to look, and especially if you're looking for your local representative from Blevins Franks.
That's exactly right. The website's a pretty decent website. It has all of the local office addresses and some biopics of the individuals who manage those offices and client service representatives who would look after our clients once they have become solid clients. I mean, the answer is go to the website, review what you can wish to review. If you wish to talk to a local office, there's no commitment in making a telephone call and discussing things with them and then making an arrangement to meet with them. And I know that they would be pleased to hear from you, especially at this time when there are so many different things going on, the US elections, Brexit, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's worth a call.
Indeed. And that's at blevinsfranks.com, of course.
Correct. That's it, Howard.
Thank you, Bill. We'll talk at the same time next week. It's always a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, Howard. Have a good week.